want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
We are the Mad Men of Masculinity.
Your home for healthy masculinity. We're just real men having real conversations for you.
It is that time again, folks.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I am Kirk M. Samuels.
And I am Jason B. Kendrick.
And we are the Mad Men of Masculinity.
That's right. We're just real men having a real conversation.
For who?
For you.
For you. We have these conversations all the time. Yeah. These conversations are really for you.
These are for you. You can listen to our crazy minds and the thoughts that we have, the things we talk about when you're not around.
These are golf course kind of conversations, yes, man. This is stuff that, you know, call us weird, but we talk about stuff. You know, sometimes it's shallow. Sometimes there's a lot of that's what she said. Sometimes it's, you know.
That doesn't get old at all.
But sometimes it's deep stuff. And sometimes it's like, you know, who are we? What are we? And all those kinds of things, man. So I don't know. JBK, man, I was playing golf one morning, man.
We're going to have that conversation. I feel cheated on.
I was cheating on you. Man. But I was cheating on you with some good people.
Okay, I guess that makes it a little better.
Yeah, I showed up one morning, you know, and they were like, "Hey, we're gonna pair you up with, you know, these three others, you know." But and I was like, "Okay," and the guy there was like, "Hey, you know, but this guy's really cool, man. It's a great thing." I was like, "Okay, cool." So I go out there and I walk up, man. There's like a whole family out there, man. I mean, I was like, "Ooh, we deep up in this joint, man. This is like a family reunion."
Did you get a plate?
I should have, man. You know, man, we just had a great time, man. And the more we, you know, again, golf course kind of conversations, man. And we just got going and going. And question for you, JBK.
What's that?
You ever been taken advantage of, like at a auto repair shop? Feel like you have anyway.
Well, I'm trying to say this correctly so that I don't get sued. I got to make sure I don't say any certain names. But there are certain Ford dealerships around the Denver metro area that I have taken my truck to that charge me more. Probably, I want to say at least double what it should have cost.
Say what?
I pitched a fit and they took $700 off, and I know they could have taken off, you know, another $1,000 and still made money. Yeah. But yeah, it's happened a few times where it's really. I miss the days. I used to have a guy who worked out of his garage who was my main mechanic and was the most honest, like as far as paying for it. I mean, it was just cheaper and I trusted him and I felt like, you know, the guy was honorable. Wasn't quite the experience I had with the other dealership.
Yeah, well, why I ask is because, you know, one part of the conversation, first of all, this is a great family that I was hanging out with. I mean, just like good people. You know, you can tell when you're just around good people. Right. You just got these conversations and at one point, you know, one of the guys, you know, that I was playing with, and, you know, we got in this conversation about integrity. And it had to do with just life and manhood and all this other kind of stuff. And then I found out, you know, not too long after that, that this guy is like in the auto repair business. And to me, it was like a cognitive dissonance. The dots didn't connect. I'm like, wait a minute. You guys are supposed to be shifty. You guys are supposed to be like taking advantage of people. You guys are supposed to be the ones you walk in the door and you got to act tough because you don't want these guys taking advantage of you.
Yeah.
How in the world are you here talking about integrity?
Right.
And
it's
so
like, it's like when you find an honest salesman, you know, like, you know, it's like, what?
It just blew my mind, man. So anyhow, so we had this conversation, man. We connected up again and talking back and forth. And so long story, a little bit shorter. I asked this guy, I was like, dude, I happen to, you know, I got a radio show here with my guy. And man, we got to have you on. We got to talk about this because this was kind of mind boggling to me. The fact that a guy, you know, with this kind of business background and what the stereotype is in culture has this kind of mentality for his life. And, you know, again, you look at the family, the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. And I was like, man, we got to hash this out, man, because we need to talk about integrity, especially for guys.
Because we're all about uplifting men. This is a home for healthy masculinity. It's all about making men better. And here are examples that we find out in the world of good quality, honest, integral men. Should we bring him on?
Let's bring him on, man. We've got him in the studio. My main rapper Scrapper, man, the coolest dude on the golf course, man, Mr. Al Ramos. How you doing, sir?
We're doing great today. How you guys doing?
Pretty good. So cut straight to the chase, man. I mean, was I lying about your profession?
No, that's my job. That's what I've been doing for a couple of years, actually.
So what's your company? We're going to get that. What's your business? We can get that already.
Pro Auto Care is the shop. And I've been in business for 31 years.
Oh, wow. And that's here in the Denver area, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, of course, because, you know, that's how we roll here in a Mile High, 1220 AM KLDC. And so, you know, man, just a local, literally like a mom and pop kind of operation. But you guys were, you know, wholesome. Like, you guys were a good family, man. And like I said, the more you talked and the more, man, I just grew to like all of you guys, man. And so, you know, especially, like I said, just the whole idea of integrity. Break down some of your thoughts about just the word integrity, especially, you know, in the intersection of you and life and business.
Yeah, you know, I think it all starts at home. And it does start at home. It starts with the way you were raised and the people you were raised. And even if it wasn't a great situation, you can also identify it for yourself. You may not have the best upbringing. I did. I had great parents. I had a great mother. I had a great father that believed just in great values and things. And I listened. Now, I can't say it was always perfect, okay? Because we're all just a little stubborn. But when we get older, we figure out, you know what? They were right. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so cool. So, yeah, when you alluded to those things, you said the apple don't fall far from the tree. You're probably talking about my son, Alex, who was there on the course. And Alex is actually working on taking over a big portion of my business because I've been running for 31 years. I've been in my industry for 43. I'm measuring things in decades, so time's going by.
indeed. But then your daughter is also part of the business, right? What is she?
So I've got two daughters. They're identical twins.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
Yeah. And so I got one who does marketing. She's doing CSU Global right now, working on her degree, bachelor's in marketing, minor in business. So she learned that side. She runs the customer service side of our business and all the marketing. And the other one's in accounting. She's doing accounts payable, learning the financial side of the business, which is a lot of learning.
So and, would your daughters like to do an internship in radio?
Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah. But I want to make sure I don't leave it all out, okay? We're done there with the three kids and that'd be enough. No, we got one more.
Uh-oh.
I got my youngest, Carlos. He's 21 years old. He's going to be 22 in December.
Wow.
He's my youngest. He was done class of 2020. Didn't make a mention. COVID class, drive-by graduation. And he is a technician, okay? And he's learned under an apprenticeship. He's also learning the front end as an apprentice advisor. And he's learning now the business side. We teach him that as well.
Well, I mean, considering Kirk and I have similar backgrounds in some ways, I think we probably just want to be adopted into your family. Much better.
My name is now Kirk Aramis.
Aramis is good, man.
My name is Kirk Aramis. And was it my imagination when we left the golf course, are all of your vehicles white?
Dude, let me just tell you, there was no memo that went out. We have six people in the family, all have white vehicles. My daughter just sold her Blazer, okay, a Chevy Blazer, and bought a white Toyota Highlander.
Wow.
I'm not really sure. I might go black just to change all the
time. Be careful, man, because once you go black, you
never go back.
Well, I've had hot runs that are black, baby. Let me tell you, it's nothing like it.
Another example of the fruit and the tree. And that being said, where are you from, man? Where are you born? And you were talking about, give us some of the background. Let's human at you, man.
So, yeah, I want to put the person, because this is the story. I can say this wholeheartedly that I am living the American story because of the fact that I was born in another country. I was born in Colombia, South America, and boy, life has a way of doing whatever it serves up to you, and it's how you come out of it at the end. I lost my mom and dad at a real early age. I was an orphan at 2.5 years old.
Wow.
Okay, you didn't probably know that.
No.
My uncle and my aunt adopted us, the whole family, brothers and sisters, and we went to New York. I was 3 at that time. Okay, it took about a half a year for them to get. I was raised in New York. I had great parents, okay? My dad worked for the United Nations. My mother was a hairdresser. She had a beauty salon, Lucy's Hair. She's a businesswoman. Okay, so she taught me some great values. Had a great father. These were my parents. Okay, they were blood by being aunt and uncle, but they were the ones who gave me the love. So that was my parents I knew, because at 2.5, I really didn't remember much there.
Yeah. Man, that is, this. And this is, I would imagine, this is some of the formation, the foundation of who you are and who you became as a person, which, you know, what you do as a profession is an extension of the person.
That's right.
Right. And so a lot of this comes down to the foundation. So, you know, so to me, I connect the dots back to, you know, most of every superhero has a sad backstory. Right.
Oh, yeah.
And so when you, you know, the fact that we have these stories and the fact that we have adversities and obstacles and these sorts of things doesn't dictate who we have to be when we become adults, when we become people in life and family and business and all these other kind of things.
That's right. And, you know, that's, you start seeing examples. If you open your eyes and your ears are open to listen, you will pick up some amazing things, because that was one of the things I learned. And there's a lot of conversations about immigration, what have you. I am a naturalized U.S. citizen. I swore an oath to this country. I was a legal resident because my family and my parents believed in the rule of law. And they said, let's do this right. So they went through all the documentation. We went in and were able to come to this country. And there came a day, an age, when in my own consciousness, I said, this is my country. This is what I love. And this is the place I love, the people I love. And that meant a lot to me to do that. And my kids all know the story. They're proud of me. They're like, you're first generation American. Which second, you know, dad, you with the New York accent that comes out every now and then. And it's pretty funny because, you know, if you didn't pick up on that story just a little bit ago, all four of my kids work for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So that's kind of like an unusual thing. I got to tell you, there's a lot of people that I know run shops across the country, and they're like, our kids wouldn't even have anything to do with that.
Well, that's just a testament. I mean, and why Kirk wanted to bring you on, because, you know, I just met you today, but having a family business where your family actually works with you. And I think a lot of it too, probably has to do with your upbringing, you know, being first generation, coming from another country, being adopted. And what I was hearing while you were talking is that you don't have the victim mindset. You're not like, oh, woe is me. My parents passed away. I was an orphan. And I had to be adopted. You were just like, you know, what can I do with this is kind of what I'm hearing. And it's like, you know, and you took onus of that and became, and I think that's what probably led to, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, to how you do business, because so much, many of those in the States that were born here don't, you know, they have this very victim mindset. You know, it's my parents' fault. It's the government's fault. It's X, Y, and Z's fault. And so they lose their integrity. They lose their character because they have that victim mindset. Would you agree or disagree? Or?
Oh my gosh. You're so spot on. And the victim is a simple thing, but I just think it comes down to sometimes that victim mindset. It's almost a laziness or an excuse. You see, if I can make an excuse, like with Kurt, I would make an excuse for bad shots. And he wasn't giving me anything. He said, I'm sorry, man, you may have to just hit that again. Okay. You know, it's like, yeah, but the more you hit it, the more it costs you. Okay. Because the idea is not to score more points, it's less in golf. Okay. And so that is the truth. And when you deal with that, if you start looking at things in such a way that, oh my gosh, this has happened, or my dad's a drunk, or my mom is this, you can do that and you can bite that bait, but that hook is going to stick. And what you have to do is make a decision that life is so precious and that you have to make some decisions to be something or somebody. And that I knew at a very young age because I saw the examples of two people that were just amazing. They were hard workers. They didn't, you know, they spoiled us a little bit, but they make sure you want some money at 12 years old, you're going to go rake some leaves. You're going to go mow some lawns. I thank them for those gifts. I gave those gifts to my children. I think if more people in more homes would spend time doing that, their kids would come out different. You're going to spoil them because you love them.
Yep.
But make sure you give them gifts that have value that they earn.
Yeah, that's one of the things we see a lot and we talk about a lot is you want to have depth of vision and long-term thinking, especially when it comes to your kids, because it's so easy to go, oh, but they're my kids. I want to spoil them. I didn't get that when I was growing up. But speaking of what we didn't get when we're growing up, it's time to take a break, y'all.
Break, man. We'll be right back. Mad Men of Masculinity, KLDC, 1220 AM in the Mile High City.
When you think of buying or selling real estate, there's a name you can trust to serve your best interest. When you want knowledge and VIP service, there's one person you want. Barry Overton, Realtor.
And so all of a sudden, my voice is flex, man.
Sorry, you caught us behind the scenes. We just dropped our Barry Overton commercial. Shout out to Barry Overton, super realtor in the Denver area. And we're just checking our microphone volumes. So I think we're good.
We're sounding good. Good.
Sounding good. Okay. Let's bring it back.
And we're back.
We're back.
Mad Men of Masculinity, KLDC.
1220 AM.
Yeah.
In the Mile High City.
We're right up here in the Mile High City. You know what I'm saying?
12th floor.
Home of the world champion Denver Nuggets, the world champion Colorado Rockies.
You better be careful with that, man. They know where you live.
You know, the now nationally ranked CU Buffs, you know, doing their thing. Coach Prime up the street, you know, making things happen. All those kind of good things, man. That's what we're doing. We're here talking to the one, the only Mr. Isla Ramos about integrity, man. A guy who's in a business field that is not normally known by most people by integrity, but he's also a family guy. And I like to kind of delve off into what integrity looks like from a family perspective. I mean, you're, you know, father, husband, grandfather, you know, I mean, all those kinds of things. What does that look like? I mean, from a man perspective in the family, what does integrity look like to you?
Boy, I tell you what, your kids are recording everything. Okay. Even when they're not even looking at you and you think they haven't heard a word you said, they heard everything you said. And I know that only because I quote every single thing. Just to say, we all have them, right? Oh, my goodness. My dad used to have this saying, good saying was, if you don't lie, you never need to remember what you said. And that was like one of those ones, you know. And I taught that to my family and to my kids and just basically said, look, you're going to make mistakes, make things right. Okay, if you're not good at it, if you're caught, admit it and move on. And my wife used to do when they were little, she would test the stuff on them. She's like, did you eat all the rest of the cookies? And they would say, nope. And she'd turn around and say, did you eat a little bit of the cookies? Just a little bit. You know, and they would have that. She'd, oh, you had a little bit. Okay. But the thing's empty. Uh-huh. But it wasn't me. It was my brother. Well, your brother ain't even here. And that was kind of those examples. And I think integrity, when you deal with a family, you have to show it. Yeah. You have to show it. As a man, as a father, that's an important thing. You know, you got to know what's most important. And that's your family, that's your wife. And your name and your reputation doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's one of the things I know I experienced was I can still remember those times where there was that promise made or that, hey, we're going to go on this trip, we're going to go do this thing. And those things never happened. And it was always the, oh, we'll see. And so those things stick with you, especially as a kid. Like you said, I mean, the kids are just recording everything because they're just downloading their open sponges, especially between born to 7, 8 years old. They just absorb everything. And so, yeah, I think to your point, it's being integral within yourself and then showing that and then holding your kids accountable so that they know that there's repercussions to those things. Because when you say one thing and then they, you know, of course are going to test you because that's what kids do. You have to go, no, that's what I said. And this is what it is.
You know, I love what you just said because that the promise piece. Okay. Trust me that I've got a couple. I'm telling you, they still act. They grind that axe. Dang, you never built a treehouse. Promise. Okay. I was supposed to build treehouse. I was supposed to do all kinds of stuff. They lived a great life, but boy, you know, there's probably some dads listening to this or, you know, dads, whatever situation you may be in, you know, today is actually a great day to start thinking about those things and about making what you say count. And you sometimes think that it needs to be something big. Oh, we need to go, you know, we're going to Disney or we're going to the beach. Or going to the park sometimes with an ice cream cone in your hand could be the most valuable time. And sometimes, like me, as you see, I talk crazy. I got paragraphs. Sometimes, and I teach my kids this, I said, listen in paragraphs, talk in sentences. And I say that because you sometimes need to be an ear. And sometimes if you can get in, but my kid don't want to talk to me. Well, maybe you just need to listen. And that right there is a big piece.
Yeah, you got two ears and one mouth. Use them proportionately.
God decided on something, didn't he?
That's what I've always heard. And to your point, man, I think, you know, integrity with our time, with our family and with our kids and loved ones and those kind of things. And you're right. I don't think it needs to be huge. I don't think it always needs to be fireworks and, you know, and pony rides and all those kinds of things. I think sometimes just your presence is the best gift that you can give them. And you know, just being with your kids and with your family and all those kinds of things, man, is important because it goes by so quick. All of us, you know, I got news for you. Most of us don't have our kids working with us, man. Most of us don't get to see our kids and work with our kids in a regular bit. A lot of us have kids and grown kids, you know, they might grow up and leave, you know, and be gone. And it happened so quick. I mean, I'm sure it was quick for you just to see them grow up. And so it's a gift just to appreciate the little things while you have them, because at some point the little things are going to be bigger grown things, and they may not necessarily be around for you to spend that time with them once you get older.
Yeah. And that's one of the things, I mean, we just did the episode on what's important and being present. And I quoted before, I'll talk about it again. Most people on their deathbed, most people who are getting ready to pass out of this lifetime, talk about it was the little things, the dinners, the cooking in, you know, hanging out in the backyard, the doing little chores together. What, you know, yeah, we all remember the big trips and stuff. But for your kids, it's the presence thing. It's something where you're just being there and being open. And like Al was saying, you know, just listen. Listen to your kids.
Yeah, I want to add in one piece, and I'm sure you both agree. Make sure you make the time. If you've got grandma, grandpa still alive, you got a mother and a father, pick up that phone. Okay, make a phone call. Make sure that you make that party just your regular occurrence. My mom, rest her soul. I mean, it got so much a part of my life that even after she passed, there were weeks I'd gone to go grab that telephone, go make that phone call, because it was just part of what we had to do. And that is so important. And even with my kids now, I text them and tell them I love them all the time. My boys will say goodbye to me in front of everybody and say, I love you, Dad. And, you know, we'll hug and we'll even kiss. That's just important for me. Okay. And that might not be for every guy and every family, but I'll tell you what. Dish out the love, man, because we need a lot more of that to go around.
You know, my son is in the Navy. It's been a year, and he just got finished all of his schooling, and now he's about to go off to his first duty station. And so he's just spent the last week here in town. And, I mean, he was at my house, but he wasn't really at my house. He was gone in and out and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, but that last night, man, we got, you know, he brought one of his buddies over from way back in kindergarten, and you know, I made like hamburgers, and we just kind of sat down and just talked and just, you know, chopped it up, and it was great just being able to sit down and have conversations with him and just talk with him about whatever and encourage him and all those kinds of things. And, you know, honestly, sometimes it's kind of humbling to me, because I think of, you know, the way he talks about me and the relationship that he and I had and all these kinds of things. I'm like, man, I don't know if I deserve that much credit, man. Like, you're a better son than maybe I think I was as a father. But either way, you know, I think one of the things I did intentionally with him was just try to be there, you know, just try to literally be there, be present, and you know, pass on whatever I could pass on.
Yeah, that's something that I know a lot of us, especially we talk about a lot, is that we didn't have those examples growing up. We didn't have the father maybe we wanted. You know, he did the best he could, but maybe he was addicted to this, or he had other issues, maybe he had trauma, PTSD or whatever. And so we didn't have those examples, but it's incumbent upon us, if we want to break that cycle, to give what we didn't get. So basically go, well, what did I not receive that I wanted? Time, attention, encouragement. That's what I need to give to my kids so that we don't continue whatever this traumatic pattern is.
Jason, you're so spot on with what you just said there, because my dad, for all his greatness, and I will say his greatness, one thing he didn't have was a lot of time.
Yep.
His job was consuming. He commuted from Long Island, New York every day to basically the east side of the East River, the United Nations, where he worked at. He had it with an hour and 20 minutes to an hour and a half commute every single day there and back. So he'd have to have that twice. And he was gone. He'd come home. He'd have dinner. The week was pretty much absent. Weekend was to work, or we'd be whatever, and then Sunday'd be to church. And I missed that. So I purposed in me that I was going to, whatever it costs, to put the time raising my kids. My kids knew growing up. I mean, I got my kids to a point where they were complaining that their birthdays were away together. Why are we here? I think one year they complained. We were in Cancun for my son's birthday, and my wife's birthday the very next day, and they complained and they were in Cancun. I'm like, what's going on with you people?
can't they make those kids happy?
Yeah. You know, but a lot of us, you know, and it's, I think it's a generational thing. A lot of us didn't grow up with gray haired men. Uh-uh. Right. And I'm talking like just general numbers wise, population wise. And I mean, I can honestly say that. And now a lot of us are gray haired men. And so, you know, it's so important for them to have, in this case, you in their life, just, you know, the fact that, and maybe a lot of us aren't even fully appreciated until we're gone, just in terms of the fact that we were there and what benefit we were while we were there. But the fact that you are there and in the house and in the home and in the family unit and you're doing stuff together, you're playing golf together, you know, going on trips together, you know, you were off on one trip one week and then your son was off on, you know, on another trip the next week. And while he was gone, I got to fill in for him as your golf buddy that day. And so, you know, but just being able to have that figure, you know, that figure around, you know, I think is somewhat life integrity in terms of like, you know, man, I want to make my life mean something. I want to be true to my word just in my life with the people around me and specifically family.
Yeah, I think this is one of the things that is what has become counter to the integrity and why we don't see it as much. Usually for most of us, especially as guys, to have integrity and to want to hold ourselves accountable, there has to be somebody we want to hold ourselves accountable for, whether that's family or relationship, you know, spouse or children. And if we don't have those examples, then sometimes we don't know that we need to hold ourselves accountable in that way because we didn't have that example. And it's up to us as grown men now, the ones getting the gray hair, to go, hey, I have to be in integrity, if not for myself, for those around me and for my family and for those who see me. Because like Al was saying, you know, not just kids, everybody's listening to you. Mm-hmm. Everybody hears what you have to say, whether you know it or not. People will repeat things to you that you don't even remember saying sometimes and be like, oh, that really impacted me. But if you're not being a person of integrity, it's not going to hold the same weight.
That's right. Yeah, I think to both points that you guys just made here, because there's people listening to this, some guys, younger guys, and there's older guys, okay? There's something to be said. And if you're going to learn about those character traits, integrity, trust, honesty, all those ones that fall in, which are character traits, you're going to learn those, and you got to share. And if maybe you don't have the pops or dad around still, a grandpa, you can become friends with a generation that has lived and their experience has great value. Find yourself somebody that can be a model in your life. I have a lot of men in my life that still speak to me about a lot of things and put a lot of stuff in. So that's my suggestion for everybody.
Actually, that's a great point. I mean, do you still feel like you get mentored by other men in your life? Like, you know, I think in order to pour out of your cup, you got to have something poured into your cup. Do you find, you just mentioned other men have an influence in your life. Do you still find at this point you have other men that you lean on or look to pour into your cup?
I'll tell you, yes, I do. And I have many. I have a coach, Kevin Myers, who's a business coach, but he's also just a brother to me. And he just talks about our life. He has great things. He holds me accountable, which is good. I have a pastor. I've got a great pastor. I got two pastors, actually. They speak, and they can correct me just about anything. Their life is a great model for example. I was around another minister for many, many years, almost 21 years, an elder, who was just instrumental. So it is integral that you have those things that help you develop internally, okay? We have the external. We have the guys who play football. We play softball. We go play golf with, okay? And that's important. But you have to have voices, somebody that would be open to give you a correction if you need it. And I've gotten that. Let me tell you, there were times in my life when I needed to hear from somebody.
Yeah, and that's why we say guys need a group of guys. Because if you're about to make a decision that may or may not be good, and you think in your head, what would so-and-so say? What would they think? That's when you probably won't do it and then hold yourself accountable because you know you got a squad around you. Speaking of squad, let's show some love to our squad. Have a little break.
Yeah, we'll be right back. Mad Men of Masculinity, KLDC 1220 AM.
Where is that echo coming from? I swear
I feel like I don't hear. That's why I did this with my headphones a minute ago because I don't hear it without my headphones, but I feel like I hear it with the headphones.
Yeah, I've been noticing that. Maybe it's
now,
maybe
your mic on the screen shows muted and yours doesn't. Doesn't matter.
No, mine's one that all the audio is through.
Yeah, so all the audio. Through, okay. Yeah, all the audio for the stream.
I'm gonna shut this and make sure this guy's phone is shut up.
For the stream, all the audio is going through his computer and then obviously for the radio. But yeah, I do hear like a rumble, but when I did like that, I didn't hear anything. Yeah. So
well, if it's going through the station board, then it's fine. Okay. See, people are still figuring this out.
Maybe it's just the echo of vibration from the window over here.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know.
Who knows?
Y'all can't hear it, can you? Let us know. Make a comment. And we're back.
Yeah.
Mad Men of Masculinity,
mm-hmm.
KLDC,
yep.
12:20 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
in the Mile High City.
That's right, boys.
Jeez, boys and girls.
Mad Men Mafia out there, man. We're getting into a little deep topic today, man. We dropping some knowledge up in this bad boy, man. This is stuff that guys need to talk about, man. This is stuff we need to talk about some integrity. We need to talk about, you know, leaning on other guys. We need to talk about family and past and all this other kind of stuff, man. We got Al Ramos in the studio, Pro Auto Care, right around here in, you know, in the Mile High City, couple locations. And, you know, and again, this was the kind of the common thread that piqued my interest. We were playing golf. I was like, man, I had a lot of not so great experiences with auto mechanics and auto repair. But this guy was passionate about that, not only from a career, but from an integrity perspective. So we talked about family. So let's talk about business now. And from a business perspective, how in the world do you have a business, a company, especially a family-run company that, I mean, man, you got to pay bills. Like, aren't you tempted sometimes to just kind of, you know, up the repair, you know, well, you need this. And you, I mean, how do you maintain the balance in that? Because, man, you know, the less you fix, the less you make. But at the same time, it's so easy for you and your industry to say, you know what? You need a this and a that. You need, like, how do you balance all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, then they fail stuff like blinker fluid.
Right? Yeah,
blinker fluid. But
yeah.
You know, it stems so much from your background. But you just said it, man. When I went to business, I don't know if they even told you the story, but people ask me, see, what caused you to start your business? What made you actually go on the limb and do it? Well, I tell them, I got fired.
That'll do it.
I got fired.
Yep.
I got fired over my business. That's what happened. I got fired from a job. I had a great job. A little bit of background. I was a master Honda technician. I was also a master Acura technician. I had both credentials. I was an ASC master. I did all my credentials. My dad taught me a long time ago, if you can be doing something, better do it right. Better know mm-hmm. what you're doing. So I went to school. I graduated, got an associate's degree in automotive and diesel technology. I was on a career path doing all this stuff. I was doing great. I was moving up the ranks. Became chop foreman, assistant service manager, moving up those ranks to go do all that stuff and moving into service manager at some point, general manager, running a dealer at some point. And I was having a meeting one day and they basically told us that, you know, we're under new management, new leadership, and we need to get some dollars on tickets. Mm-hmm. And I read between the lines. Now, here's the stuff. I had a group of guys, 13 guys in the place, everybody was married. I was the only single guy in the room. So I stood up in the middle of the meeting and said, you guys are crazy. And it came out and I couldn't pull it back in.
Uh-huh.
And I stood up. Dude, what an idiot. I mean, but that was just that moment in time. And they kicked me out of the meeting and I went out and I started packing my stuff. And I knew that was the catalyst to start.
Yeah.
Here's something I've learned in the years of doing this. If you know what you're doing, people will pay you for it.
Yeah.
And if you do it right, they'll send you their friends and their family. And then you'll have a whole lot more than just one person one time. And that was something for me that was vital. There's also a little lesson. I love to share the story because I thought about doing the show. And I said, not everybody knows this story about me. So I would need to share it with you.
Sure.
I was 13 years old. I was in New York. Okay. My dad had this really nice Buick Special. Gorgeous. Had 17,000 miles on it. Garage kept. He had a nice sheepskin cover made for it. Of all things.
What? Yeah, fuzzy dice, man.
Yo, that's I'm telling you. Mobile, it man. Was gorgeous, original. And we had to have state inspections in New York. They would do a safety inspection check. They took it to a shop, and they dropped it over there. And it's usually $10 for the inspection and sticker. And they put it on. We showed up. I walked with him there, and the guy charged him $79.
Mm.
My dad was from South America. He had a pretty strong Spanish accent. The guy said $79. He said, for what? We change out your headlights, change out this, your wipers were bad, and all this stuff. And he goes, you never approved any of that with me. He goes, this is what it's going to cost. You want your car back. And I was standing there, 13 years old, watching this transaction. This true story. I'm not fluffing any part of this. This is amazing, right? Mind you, I'm building go-karts and mini bikes. Okay, I was like into motors for some reason. It was wired in me. And my dad maybe saw that. I don't know. And, he told the guy at the counter, he said, I may have an accent, but that doesn't make me stupid. He goes, you'll never have my business again. And I got to witness all that. My dad walked, got in the car, drove home, didn't say much to me. Almost got home, and he leaks over him, and he says, I don't care what you do in life or any career that you choose, but I don't want you to be a mechanic. If you're a mechanic, you're right up there with a liar, cheat, and thief. And I don't want you to be any of those. Wow. My dad says that. Wow. Okay. I'm like, I'm 13. I'm worried about what's next week, when we're playing baseball or stickball. I mean, this is the stuff we're doing. We get home. We're at the dinner table, the whole family, kids, my cousins there. He says the same thing again in front of everybody. I had no idea why he even put this out there. And mind you, never did I even for a minute, like, that was inspiring for me to actually get into business, because by that time in New York, and so I wound up in the auto biz. I went to automotive school. I graduated with honors, perfect attendance awards, all kinds of awards. And unfortunately, my mom couldn't be at my graduation, so I called her. And she said, "You remember what Dad said?" I said, "Boy, do I remember, Mom." And she says, "Prove him wrong." She said, "Prove him wrong." And so that's what I've modeled, what I've done. I understand one thing, as human beings, we're not perfect, okay? So if we're not perfect, we better make sure we can make something right. And I've told that to all my people. I empower them to make things right. My managers got to make things right. I hire the best to be the best. You can't do it otherwise. And that's really the model. So that's a long answer to that question. Yeah.
Well, and that's one of the things, I mean, just your story of standing up and saying that they're crazy because they want to pad the books. I mean, one of the things that integrity, I mean, there's pillars as men that we have to have. And integrity has to be one of them. Integrity, courage, purpose, and say sacrifice. I mean, or whatever, you know, you have these pillars that you build your life on that becomes you. And when something threatens one of those pillars, like integrity, when somebody says, because that's one of the things, you know, we have different day jobs, we do different things. And a lot of times because of the corporate mindset, especially in the US, it's all about the bottom line. It's all about doing more with less. And it's always about doing those things, whether they're ethical or not, to make sure that the company makes more money and that they do better for their stockholders and stuff. But when we find that somebody in a business like auto mechanic, which is historically not the most honest, straight up, you know, straightforward business, you hear horror stories of ladies going in because their ladies are getting ripped off, and guys going in and still, like, you know, your story with your father, like, "Oh, it's going to cost this much. Well, I didn't approve any of that." Well, that's what it is. And so, having somebody like you running your business with integrity and honor and basically proving everybody else wrong. I mean, hopefully everybody that listens to this will be going to a pro auto care and doing business with them, because we should be rewarding integrity. We should be rewarding honesty. And so often in our culture, it's the dishonest and those that are the worst of the worst that get the accolades because they, quote unquote, put money in the bank, but they're not doing it in an integral way. They're not doing it with honor. And it's something that we, especially as men nowadays, need to pay attention to and reward those that use integrity and honor, whether it's in business, in life, or in friendship, in any area of life.
Absolutely. And I think you've got to put things, how would you like to be treated? Uh-huh. You know, the golden rule that's always been out there. You know, we, like I said to you, it really comes down to, if you want to have the best model, you got to have the best people. And you got to pay them well, and you got to treat them well. I have very loyal people working for me for a lot of years, and their family. I take care of them. We watch the kids grow up. We watch them buy houses. We're a part of that. But we all want to be able, and I told everybody, I said, we've got to be able to go to the supermarket and let somebody see us and not have to go run and hide. And that was under my parents' time. You know, that was always that thing. You know, you don't have to worry. The cops ain't chasing you because you're not doing something bad. And that has been in my biz. And so, so much of what we do is just a massive investment in our people, not only communication skills, but you alluded to, you know, you put on there, and it's not alluded, but it's actually true, women being not treated right and taken because they don't understand this technology. I tell my people, there's a dumb term, that they dumb it down. No, you don't need to dumb it down. You just have to be skilled enough to explain something.
Yep.
If I can explain something to you, you're going to understand, it's going to make sense. And when I explain to you that, yeah, this may be a $10 seal, but I got to lift the engine out of your car, you know, and what does it take to actually do that? Taking time to explain solves so much misunderstood. And I think that's what's so bad in our industry. They miss that piece because they're too hurried or too rushed. And I've made it my point. I have more staff than a lot of times than what's required. They are there to be able to service and handle a customer. And so I'm not the only one, though. Let me just tell you this. I belong to associations. I'm a board member of the Automotive Service Association. We're changing the way the industry works.
Good.
We are shops that are all about integrity and honesty. You can't be part of it unless you are.
Good.
And I think when you run your business like that, to me, you go home with a good conscience. You go home cleaner. I'm talking about in terms of just, man, just your nobility, just who you are, what you did, you know, and what you did today. And I don't think there's anything wrong with being successful, financially successful as a business. I don't think there's anything wrong with all that. You know, I think ideally, you know, if you're able to do that and do that with integrity, then that's the best case scenario where, you know, to your point, if you run into somebody at the grocery store, you don't have to duck and hide. You know, if somebody walks into on their way home, if they stop somewhere and they got a Pro Auto Care patch on their shirt, you know, it's not an embarrassment. It's like, oh, yeah, you know, and you know, you're able to almost have your business be an extension of your family. This is how we treat each other. And that's why I think, you know, the whole idea of starting off with a notion of family is important, because when I think that when that's a great foundation, then your motivation is different. Like your motivations are not to take advantage of people, because you got, you know, you don't want anybody taking care or taking advantage of yours. And so many people in business, whether you own a business or whether you work for a company or work for a business, you know, the integrity in which you do your job on a daily basis, do you go there and just try to get by with the minimum, you know, because you work for a big company? Do you try to do nothing all day and still get your paycheck or whatever it is? Or do you own a business and, you know, you got bills to pay, but you want to pay them the right way? I mean, all of these things are important in terms of when you leave at the end of the day, you know, are you able to look back over your shoulder at the day you just spent in your profession? And are you proud of that? Are you able to lay your head down that I did the right thing today? I think that that's hugely important in terms of integrity in business.
Yeah, and it comes back to, and we talk about those guys all the time, depth of vision and legacy. What is your legacy going to be? And for what I see a lot is there's such this dog-eat-dog, you know, survival of the fittest thing, which if you get into the science of it, that's wrong. It's totally wrong. Nature is all about cooperation and cohesion and working together. But when you look at, if you have a depth of vision and you're thinking about your legacy, you're going to want to do things the right way with integrity, because those are the businesses that last. The ones that do things with integrity for the long run. They're thinking about a community. They're thinking about family. And I think that's probably why your businesses are so successful, because you run them like you run your family. You hold integrity with yourself and your employees and the business. And you know that you want your people to be able to go out in the world and feel safe and honored and know that they did a good job with, you know, integrity and focus and purpose and honesty.
It's bigger than running the business, man. Let's show some love to the people who help support this one, man. We love our sponsors. We love the folks that partner with us to bring healthy masculinity to the world in good, positive ways and have conversations like this. And so we're going to take a break and we'll be right back on Mad Men and Masculinity. Good stuff.
Goes by so fast.
It does, man. It does. It absolutely does. Speaking of going by so fast, man, this water is, you know, I used to give him a hard time, like, man, pH balance. Hey, no.
That's delicious water.
Yeah, man.
You need to worry about your pH balance. That's why you smell funky.
I like the new one you got me
here. Yeah. That's good.
That's good.
See, you know, when you smell it funky, it might be a pH balance. Here's a, the more you need to know. Man.
Why you gotta talk about me smelling funky, man? Hey, don't judge me, man.
I'm just saying I got a nose, and sometimes, you know, there's some funk floating around in the air.
So then how come we don't have like pH balanced showers? Like, yeah, you're talking about like bathing. We don't bathe in pH balanced water. Mm-hmm. Like
that's a whole nother government issue. Let me tell you what, it's a whole rabbit hole. I mean, the fact they still put chlorine in our drinking water.
There's so much chlorine in our water.
Wow.
We shower with it, not skin absorbable.
You see what happens when you watch behind the scenes?
You see, I don't smell funky because I don't drink. I don't shower. I don't bathe in pH. That's why I smell funky.
You use your Squatch soap, though, right?
I love that Dr. Squatch, man. Dr. Squatch. I love me some Dr. Squatch. But Dr. Squatch got the dark colored, some of them are dark colored soap bars. and I love them and all that kind of stuff. But
were you trying to say you lose them?
No, like but when they run down the wall, it's like a dark streak running down the wall of your shower, man. It looks like I'm dirty, but it ain't me. It's the soap.
Maybe you get a different soap holder.
I don't know, man. I need to do something.
All right. Speaking of still soap holders,
squirrel.
Let's bring this back.
All right.
We are back.
Yep.
This is the Mad Men of Masculinity Show. We are on KLDC, 1220 AM, near Mile High City. Come hear us and see us and love us on the internets, on the YouTubes, and on Spotify podcast places everywhere.
That's right. MadMenRadio.com. You can holler at us there. It's funny because if you ever watch us on YouTube or Facebook, you see all the in-between, behind-the-scenes stuff. We just had a pretty off-the-tangent rabbit hole conversation about Dr. Squatch and showers
and chlorine in the water and
all that kind of stuff, man.
pH balance.
It started with pH balance.
I'm gonna take a pH balance shower. I wonder if I was.
You're gonna have to go out to the pipe and start your filter system from the road. All
right.
Yeah, you're gonna have to build that all out.
So, man, all right, Pro Auto Care here in Denver, we got all around.
They got pH balance water over at Pro Auto Care.
You got pH balance water in there, man. You got pH balance mechanics. Hey, so let's get into how about some tips and tricks for some folks. So I got a car. My car is 10 years old. So person out there, how do I extend the life of my car? Like, what kind of things do I need to think about or focus on so I'm not going out buying these expensive new cars that are $50,000 for something I used to pay $30,000 for?
Mm-hmm. I love that question because that's my expertise. That's my line. And that's we tell people it's really an independent repair shop. My job is to keep people's cars on the road to really give them no reason to get rid of that car. And if you look at the vehicles and they'll last, how long they can last nowadays. It was a day and age where 90,000 or 100,000 miles, it's time to unload. This thing's going to burn oil. It's gonna cover. Cars built today are some of the best vehicles. And I can get very techy with you on this, but I won't. But I'm just telling you, the way they've put them together, they're designed to last. We have customers with 300, 400, 500,000 miles on their car, original engines. Original transmission, there's a way to do it. So to your question, I'm going to kind of put this in a place where you have to have understanding of your car, okay? A lot of people, they understand that when it's low on gas, I got to put it in, and that's about what they know. And okay, that's okay, but you also got to make sure that you remember a couple of things, because I say to people a lot of times, that's your money getter, okay? Your car takes you to your job where you get your money, and then you go get your food, and you take care of your family. You need it. It's a very vital part of your life. In our society, in our community, you got to have it working. Reliability is everything, okay? And you do have to put some money aside investing for maintenance, okay? I always encourage people to put some money aside. I have an account, put something away. That's the way extended warranties, guys. Backdoor secret, the garbage.
No.
Okay, I'm sorry, I just said that.
That's maybe why they keep calling me.
Yeah, hey, anybody that calls me like that.
I'm sorry, that just came out. I didn't hold back.
Hey, man, we keep it real around here.
I'm the guy that services those things, and 9 times out of 10, they want to not pay for what a customer should get based off what they got. And I know people are trying to cover because they get scared, because they scare you. They say, it's going to cost $3,000, $4,000 for a training. Yeah, they do cost that much. But you could take out of your check $75 and put it into an account that's a rescue. I'd rather you do that. But I'd much rather have you not have that training go out.
Mm-hmm.
See, most motors and engines and transmissions, differentials, all those parts that we hear all these great names and most people have no idea what they do, they have one thing that causes the major failure. We change those components at my shop, by the way. We do engines. We do all of that, okay? Mm-hmm. Most cases, 8 out of 10 cases could have been avoided had the maintenance been done. Fluid failure in whatever capacity, whether it was to lubricate or to cool, is what causes those catastrophic failures. The stuff they're scaring you about, that's what goes out. Differentials. People drive all-wheel drive cars. We're all about them. We love our SUVs. When's the last time you serviced your differential? When's the last time you put some type of protection additional to that to make it even last longer? More lubricity, that's a big term. That's the stuff that people don't know, and this is stuff that we do. So that's how you get the cars and get the miles. Put them on a maintenance guy. You better have a mechanic that explain that whole thing to you, tell you the mileage intervals, tell you how to get the most life. I want to drive the wheels off.
Yeah. See, guys, lubrication is not just for the bedroom.
Easy. See, man. Jesus, you always got to go there, man. You always got to get creepy, man. You're a line stepper, man.
Hey, look, I know what the men are thinking about. I know what's on their mind.
You know exactly what it is. I've never had any mechanic I've gone to tell me that or say that. Mm-hmm. I mean, first of all, if you're listening at this point, you got your money's worth as far as the extended warranty stuff.
Yeah.
Period. Because we keep it real. But just what you said in terms of maintenance and lubrication breakdown, all that kind of stuff. Because I gotta be honest, man. There's, you know, I got 170,000 miles on my car, 10 years old. I've never had like transmission service, I don't think, or stuff like that. I mean, I change my oil pretty regularly, and you know, and that kind of stuff. But man, I've never had anybody tell me that.
It's so important. This is the vital piece. These are those things that if you build a relationship, and you gotta ask questions, folks. Okay. You may not understand, but somebody that's worth their salt, just ask them the question. Say, I got this vehicle. You're looking at it. You're telling me stuff. Tell me what's going to make this thing last. If they get shifty and can't answer that, you may need to go a different place. Yep. But most of the professionals are going to tell you. And you to look at stuff that it doesn't last forever. And like I said to you just a minute ago, the costly breakdowns could have been avoided, would have been if it put it on a maintenance plan. Because you just drove that vehicle for 50, 60,000 miles of that fluid. Let's put the same fluid back in there, driving another 50, 60,000 miles. That's cheap money, good insurance.
Yeah, fluid's a whole lot cheaper than transmissions, you know, clutches, gears, differentials. I mean, you know, it's oil changes and brake pads and tires. You know, those are your kind of expendables quite often. Those are things you really go through, but those other things that you don't think about, that, you know, that differential, especially here. I mean, that's one of the things I think we should probably take a moment to talk about, because this is Colorado. We are coming into winter and many people have four-wheel drive cars. I know for mine, like, you know, I have my Ford F-150 and it has, you know, shift on the fly and, you know, the auto seals like that. And one of the things I've started to learn is that some of those settings aren't what you think they are, and they can do damage, like putting your four-wheel drive into auto and leaving it there just in case. That actually isn't good for especially the front end differential, because you really only need to be putting in four-wheel drive when you need it. And is that, I mean, what would you say about that? What would be your words of wisdom about using four-wheel drive, especially here in the mountains?
So if you have the shiftable style, which is what you talked about, the dial, the ability, if you're shifting it with the lever, it's probably a pretty old car. Everything's not electronic, okay? Now, you realize there's a whole bunch of cars you can actually touch them. The Subarus of this world, some of the Audis, they're already built in. They're all-wheel drive. They're sequential all-wheel drive. They have their systems and built in, but there's maintenance that goes with that whole thing. You mentioned Colorado, which I need to really put on this. Folks, Colorado, if you're listening, you're in Colorado, this is severe driving. This is the most extreme driving you can do in a vehicle. Why? Temperature inversions, altitude, stop and go, drive, every condition.
Potholes.
Pothole. Manifest, and crazy drivers, too, did I add that?
Oh, yeah.
But what do you think manufacturers come and test their cars here? If you see the cars driving up and down I-70, they hear
zebra prints and everything.
The zebra prints. They don't want to see the new style. They want to run them to see if the check engine light comes on. They want to do all this stuff and all these things. That's why they come here. So when you are now having these vehicles, you want to make sure that you are prepared for the winter. So you kind of put me on that thing. I didn't prepare for winter. There isn't preparing. Okay. Tires. People neglect tires. Every 5,000 miles, you should be rotating them up to 6. Okay. Why? Because they're going to last longer. You want to wear them evenly. All-wheel drive cars, people don't do it. Feel them. Run your hand one way, run it the other. If they feel snake back, they're wearing uneven. In the four-wheel drive mode that you just talked about, putting it, leaving it on auto. A lot of people get used to that. I've done it. Okay, I've caught myself and go, oh, I forgot to shut up. Put it on two-wheel drive. Gas mileage, my friend. You don't want that thing engaged. You realize going around a turn and hitting sand, you got different rotation of speed. That'll activate that unit. So that's what you want to avoid.
Wow. And so you just mentioned it real quick. How can I save gas? How can I make my car more fuel efficient?
Well, that's a great one, and everybody wants to know that.
Gas, right?
Gas will get you. Let me tell you something. I've done a lot of testing in this area. I've done a lot of research. I've converted Priuses into hybrid. I'm about to launch a major EV repair. We're training ourselves. I just got off the phone with Cell Energy's putting in charging stations inside the shop, outside the shop. We're moving this. The EVs are coming, and we'll talk about that. But we'll talk about gas cars. So that's what everybody probably owns. Mm-hmm. Probably a couple out there with the EV cars. Come talk to me. We'll talk about those. But you want to save gas. what most of us do, and I do it myself, okay, I'm president of the club, we accelerate way too hard, okay? When we mash that pedal, the other thing, the reading called throttle position sensor, it's a voltage reading. It's a, when you step on the accelerator, it gives a signal to the computer. And that gives a voltage basic potentiality that goes to the computer. When we step on it, we're way into it. You'd be amazed if you backed off your throttle, your car won't actually slow down. Just stop backing off it a little bit, and you will maintain the speed, but you will save gas. We've put these sensors in the car that measure mileage per gallon. They're plugged into the OBD2 system. Amazing. And all of us mash it off the stop sign. Oh
my God. I don't know. It's just because I had been a professional driver for so long, but I bought my truck, and then it has that little mile per gallon, you know, like average. And it was like at like 13, 14 when I got it. I got up to 16.2. Now I'm trying to see if I can get all the way up to 17. But it's all about how you drive and, you know, not hitting the gas like it's a racetrack.
Wow. Well, you're moving something from a dead stop. And that's the time that car pollutes the most and actually uses the most fuel. It's dead stop. You're cruising. That's actually when it gets more efficient, but the computer goes into the mode where it makes it operate good, backing off a little bit. Wow. You'd be amazed. You actually will save gas miles. You want to hit that number.
Yeah. So you can back off a little bit, man.
Back it off.
Back. That's why I keep telling you to back off, man.
I told y'all, slow down.
Your truck like you drive that golf cart, man.
Back up, man.
You need to back off.
No, man. See, that's why if you like to drive fast, go get you a go-kart, go get you a Miata, go to the racetrack. Mm-hmm. Go drive fast out there. You can do it out there, but not out here on the roads, man. There are other people out here who don't know what they're doing. And it's dangerous. Come on, y'all.
And final car question, Al, super quick, since we're winding down here. Yeah. You mentioned EVs. I mean, we're going to electric vehicles, right? I mean, what's your take on that transition?
Oh, boy, I have a lot of controversy built in me, but let me give it all to you. I've been in this industry a long time. I understand gas. I understand what everything does. EVs are tremendous. It's a great idea. And less pollution is great, okay? I love it. But these cars that are running today, built over the last 5 years, are some of the most energy efficient, least polluting cars ever made. EV is a great idea, but you didn't make the infrastructure the way it needs to be. You've got to be able to charge and not have the range anxiety. So as it builds, it's going to be a whole lot better. These cars are gorgeous. They're tremendous what they're building, and it will move to this thing. But at the same time, make sure you think ahead. It almost is like the drum that's being beat is moving really fast. Okay, let's do it. I'm all about EV. I think the technology is tremendous. But be smart in your process and improve gas mileage. Let's look at nitrogen.
Oh, yeah. Nitrogen fuel tires, right?
Mm-hmm. Let's look at the hydrogen cells. All the stuff that's out there. There's a lot of stuff out there.
Yeah, we'll talk about this off air, but at some point I want to convert my truck to a hydroxy motor, so we'll talk about that later.
Oh, man, you're getting into some stuff, man.
Of course. Now that's set up the air, the government's be knocking my door. Hey, what'd you say?
Oh, man, this is fantastic. And, you know, I mean, I already knew you were a great guy, man. I already knew you, great conversation, great perspective, and all that kind of stuff. Thank you for coming on board, man.
I appreciate you guys.
Thank you for being here, man. Madman Mafia, appreciate you. Man, we want to be part of your family. Yep. You know, we want you, first of all, you can adopt me. I'm cool with that. I'll be in Aramis. But then, yeah, man, we'd love to have you back, man. We want to, you know, man.
You're going to be our car guy.
Yeah. You're that one. You're that.
Speaking of being our car guy, how can people find you? How can they find your business? How can they come be customers? Because I know everybody's going to hear this is going to want to come.
Yeah.
Have a car service.
We have two locations, one in Denver, one in Littleton, I-25 in Evans, Denver. Littleton's across from Rapid Community College, 303proauto.com. 303proauto.com. That's pretty simple. You find a phone number there. You find me there. You ever need me, call me. I'm here for you. Here to help.
Folks, you're there. I mean, you're around, right? You and your family are there.
You don't got me, ask for Alex. If you don't got Alex, ask for Leah. Nah. You know, you got my family. You got, and then my people that work for me too are great.
Awesome. We appreciate you, man. And like I said, we definitely hope to have you around. And thanks for all the knowledge you dropped today.
Thank you for what you do.
Thank you so much. And we'll have more auto questions for you next time.
No doubt. And with that,
Madman out.